Hello, curiosity seekers. Welcome to Dissecting Medical History. I'm Ange. I'm a travel nurse, medical history enthusiast, and your host. If you're looking for a storytelling formatted podcast with fun and fascinating topics on history and bios, then you are in the right spot. Please note this is not in any way medical advice. If you have anything that's ever discussed in any of the podcast episodes, please seek medical attention. Now, let's get this story started. Hello, curiosity seekers. I am back this week with a St. Patrick's Day themed episode that I promised. I would like to introduce a new guest to the podcast, Melissa. She is not only a nurse who served in the Navy, but she is also completing her doctorate degree in nurse practitioner. Welcome, Melissa, to the podcast.
Hi, thank you. I'm excited. This is the first time I've ever done a podcast. So I listen to them all the time. I've never been on one. So
they're fun. You get kind of used to it. I have a friend, Viv, who the first time I had her on, get nervous because you're like talking to this weird microphone and talking to an audience you can't see. And she's now a pro. She's like, she's all comfortable. we have a good time and you just feel like you're talking to a lot of friends out there in the world. So it is fun.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Maybe I'll become a pro eventually. Yeah.
I'm going to have you on for a couple more episodes. So you'll be a pro in no time.
There we go.
So this episode, I feel like should be sponsored by Sesame Street. It's a, like today's episode is brought to you by the color green and Oscar the Grouch. So we're going to talk about green sickness, green fever, the Irish curse, and Irish illness.
I have heard of none of those, so this is going to be very interesting.
Honestly, I hadn't either. Of course, so when you think of a green theme, the phrase green with envy came to my mind. So lately, I've been really obsessed with sayings and where they originated, which is how I got the episode on the snake oil. Did you hear that episode?
I think I did, actually.
The rattlesnake king?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, I did.
So that was a saying that one of my crazy family members had told me. She's a QAnon conspiracy theorist.
Yeah. Oh, boy.
So she's like, I'm not buying your snake oil. And I thought, does she even know what that means? So anyway, I started looking that up and to see how it originated. And I didn't know about the rattlesnake king. So, mm-hmm. So I learned a lot. So I thought from that, I started obsessing about other sayings, like where did it originate? And even though you know what it means, like green with envy, obviously it's jealousy, but why? Why is it green with envy? So,
right.
And then there was a guy that I've become friends with. The podcast is consistently eccentric. And Joe had made this comment that all hands to the pump. And I, what the heck does that mean?
I don't think I've ever heard that before.
No, and you were in the Navy, yeah. So you've heard of all hands on deck.
Yes, I've definitely heard that.
So it's very similar, all hands to the pump. And I'm, what the heck does that mean? And I kind of was like, okay. And then a few days later, I was watching a TV show and they said, all hands to the pump. And I'm like, oh. What? That's the second time.
And it was he didn't just make it up.
He didn't make it up. And I was a BBC show. It's a new show called Car SOS, where they take cars from people who are never going to renovate their cars, and then they renovate them and then return them in a surprise way, like almost like a prank, but not really a harsh prank. It's like real subtle, like uh-huh. They do here. They'll like pretend like the car was stolen and then return it back. And like, there's a show like that here. But anyway, so I heard them say that and I thought, okay, now I got to look it up. And it was, there's a painting called All Hands to the Pump. And it's like this bunch of men trying to get the water out of a boat. And there's like a pump thing that helps to get the water out. And it's a good painting. Hmm. I don't know if that originated from that painting or it's just, it just means urgency. And then like he did the painting because of the saying, but pretty much there's a pump on a boat. And if it's, you know, you're drowning, then you like literally want all hands on deck to, all hands to the pump.
All hands to the pump.
So Anyway.
You think I would have maybe heard that in the Navy, but I've, you know.
Yeah, maybe if you were in the British Navy.
I guess our ships don't usually sink. But
and you probably have sophisticated pump systems where you don't have to have everybody out there pumping all the water.
Out there with buckets.
Oh, yeah. That would not be good.
No. No, it would not.
So anyway, the point is I have been obsessed with like looking up sayings. So I looked up the green with envy. And actually, the results weren't all that exciting. I was
that's disappointing.
I was a little disappointed, but it's kind of what I expected. So, for one thing, the Greeks you would associate sickness, fear, jealousy, and with the overproduction of bile, which would make the skin green. And I also read that Shakespeare used the term green in like a way of jealousy in his writings three times. One of them was from Othello, I believe. And it said, I wrote beward.
Is it beware?
It's beware. Beware, my lord, of jealousy. It is a green-eyed monster which doth mock meat it feeds on. And that, I think, is like the cat, like a cat playing with its prey before he eats it.
Okay. I have heard the green-eyed monster thing before. I didn't know that that's where it originated.
Yeah, for Shakespeare. So he wrote three different places about green being associated with jealousy.
Okay.
I do have an episode. It's called The Crash Course in Humors. So if anybody wants to know more about humors, I'm not going to go into this episode. It'll talk about the humors. And so one of them would be related to jealousy.
Is that kind of old-timey medicine kind of stuff?
Yeah, from the Greeks.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Greeks are kind of the four humors, and that's how you balance the body, and you take one out, like the bloodletting. You take it out, and you put something in. Usually, you're taking stuff out. You're either purging something, like vomiting. You're trying to make them vomit or trying to make them have diarrhea, or you're trying to let the blood out. Because you're trying to balance.
Yeah.
So instead of, I mean, obviously you can't put things in. It's not like they had blood transfusions back then. But the best way would be to take something out so that they balance.
Right.
But the problem was they take too much out and then
they take your blood.
They take your blood. And it doesn't really help anything because
it gives you anemia.
It didn't have anything to do with whatever they were sick with. So yeah, anemia. So anemia is probably what I'm going to talk about first is the green sickness.
Oh, okay.
So pale skin can reflect someone's anemia, which can be fairly common, especially for adolescent girls. They tend to... I was anemic when I was younger, but...
I was too. When I was a vegetarian, I was anemic.
Yeah.
Not anymore.
There's that. So if you ever go back to vegetarianism, I can tell you the cure here in a minute.
Oh, nice.
So, but in the Victorian era, that's what they called the... The sickness was green sickness because the skin was so paley and green. Now, when I also did an episode about the Kellogg brothers, and I watched this movie called Road to Wellville. I think I've asked you and you didn't.
I have not seen that. No,
it's not the best movie in the world. It's like a cult movie, I guess. I don't know. It's on either Hulu or Prime. I can't remember, for free. And on that movie, there is a character who has this green sickness. And when I did that episode, I never really touched upon that because that is one of the things that Dr. Kellogg would try to cure is the green sickness. The green sickness is also known as the Virgin's.
Oh.
What's it called? Virgin's disease. So green sickness is also known as the Virgin's disease. So that would be something that Dr. Kellogg would try to cure. And so in the movie, there was this girl and she was like, they really played up the green. Like she was very green.
Put some green makeup on her.
They did. And she was always like real weak and pale, which you would imagine is someone with anemia.
Mm-hmm.
So that's when I first saw it. And then I later looked it up. I didn't look it up for that episode because when I'm doing research for something, I go to so many rabbit holes and I'm collecting information as I go. And I have all these... And I was like, I'm just going to put this on the side and I'm going to just look it up later. And I did. I thought, oh, this would have been so good. But anyway, so one of the symptoms for the green sickness, they said, is hysteria. And hysteria is an exaggerated or uncontrollable emotion or excitement, especially in young people, which adolescents are. Teenagers are like excited and excitable.
Yes,
and
that frontal lobe is not fully developed.
They're just dramatic.
They're emotional.
Yes.
I have nieces and nephews that are teenagers, so.
Mine aren't there yet.
Oh, yeah.
They're still young. But yeah. But I remember being a teenager and everything being dramatic.
I was kind of a brat when I was
hysterical.
A teenager.
Were you hysterical?
I was hysterical sometimes.
So the other symptoms are what you would expect with anemia, which is a low red blood count. Red blood cells are part of the blood that carries the oxygen to the rest of the body. The symptoms are a lack of energy, shortness of breath, headaches, abnormal menstrual cycles, and abnormal appetite. Okay, so one of the things that bothers me with this is why didn't men have this? Surely there was boys that had anemia.
Oh, for sure.
And they were green. But they didn't say they had the virgin sickness.
Right.
So why or what, maybe what did they claim that was? If they saw a boy that was real pale, they probably just thought it was something completely different, even though it's probably the same thing.
Right. Absolutely. But, you know, women by nature are just hysterical.
Right. That's true. If it was a pale boy, it was probably one of those sickly boys, you know, like that just have to stay in bed all day. No energy to do the poor boy.
Oh, poor boy, poor right. him.
Whereas for the girls, it was laziness. And yes. Yeah. So
of course.
So that kind of annoyed me. I just thought I'd bring that back. Yeah. That.
It might have been more common in girls because of menstruation and that sort of thing. Because you know, some
do lose a lot.
Some lose a lot of blood and actually get anemic from that. But that doesn't mean the boys also didn't have anemia from other causes. Nutritional deficiencies and whatnot.
That's a good point. All right, I'll give him that. So there is a Victorian era cure. Because it was fairly common, there was cures in household cookbooks, in household recipe cookbooks. That was how common this disorder could be. One of the cures was to drink steel water. You boil steel powder in white wine with some sugar and spices, and with the steel water, then you would also have to exercise frequently.
So you're consuming metal. Mm-hmm. So I imagine this led to some heavy metal poisoning?
I don't think it was probably enough to do that because I didn't read any of those stories or any of those. But
just doesn't sound healthy.
Steel,
I don't know.
And iron, are they that far? Like maybe it did help. Like maybe at some point someone used iron powder. Yeah. And then it helped.
I'm not sure what steel's made out of. I don't know. There might be iron and steel. I'm not sure. I should probably know that.
I don't know. I should have looked that up, but yeah. I did not. That's a good point. But it was so common. People were doing it and they were in cookbooks, so it couldn't have been deadly. Another cure was using pearl powder, steel powder, and a fourth of an ounce of cloves, mace, and nutmeg. Like you're making pumpkin.
So pearl powder, is that crushed up pearls?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah. Which fish has good nutrients in it.
True.
So maybe.
And that comes from shellfish. So yeah, maybe there was some nutritional
value
there.
Just eat a lobster.
Yes.
Just have some lobster. Crab. If you can afford pearl powder, just eat some shellfish and
some shrimp cocktail.
And you'll be fine. Have a steak.
Exactly. There's a lot of iron in there.
Right? Or you know what? Liver. Just eat some liver.
Yes.
Oh, I hate liver. But
I've smelled it and I will never taste it because it smells terrible.
Oh, I don't like it.
Ugh.
I've had chicken liver or chicken hearts.
Oh, chicken hearts. Okay.
Those are good.
I guess they put those in gravy, right? You use the giblets.
Oh, I was at the... Oh, we don't do giblets in our house. No.
My parents would use it to make the gravy and then they'd...
I think one of my grandparents did. But no, I went to one of those restaurants where they bring you big slabs of meat and they cut it at your table.
Oh, yeah, like one of those Brazilian restaurants? Yes. Yeah, I've been to one of those.
There's one in Utah that is so good. And we go there. We would go there for every occasion. If I was in Utah, I mean, there was a birthday or some celebration or just whatever. And they would bring over the little chicken hearts. And those were actually good.
Interesting.
I'm willing to try anything once.
Okay.
And I've tried some
gross stuff.
Yeah, I've tried some. Yeah. Like in Spain, there was something called cockles.
I've never heard of that either.
Oh, okay. So, like I said, I'm game to try whatever. And they serve these cockles and they served it with sand.
sand.
No, not on purpose. So I'd eat this, I'd eat these cockles, and like there'd be sand, like that shouldn't be there. And you're like, it's in your mouth, and you're like, why? And it was the worst. Okay, here's the funniest part. I was there with my brother and my mom and stepdad and my best friend and my sister-in-law, and we got the tapas, right? My brother and I are the ones that are more adventurous, and we would try whatever.
Yeah.
And I think my mom tried it too, but it was so bad that we had to try it again to make sure
it was that bad. Is it? What's it made out of? I've never heard of them
before. Fish. It's like, fish. Yeah. Okay. It's like really bad shrimp.
Just really bad fish?
It's like really bad shrimp.
oh, okay.
Yeah.
Is it a shellfish?
I have no idea.
Oh, okay, I'll have to look that up.
It is horrible.
Have you ever had sea urchin? Sorry, I'm way off topic, but sea urchin is the most god awful thing I've ever tried.
I actually haven't tried sea urchin. I've tried octopus and squid and eel and a lot of those, but then cuttlefish.
Oh, okay. I haven't tried cuttlefish. That was actually
good. But yeah, cockles are awful. Don't do it. And if you do, don't do it twice, because it doesn't get better.
You don't have to try it a second time to be sure.
It doesn't get better. I still am like, oh. I don't even remember what it tastes like. I just remember it was really bad. Okay, so back to anemia. So another cure would be purging pills. And some, of course, had iron in the pills. Mm-hmm. So that actually would help. But I don't think they realized.
But purging, so it made them throw up?
Yes.
Okay, so.
So hopefully the iron would absorb before they threw up. Or maybe the iron made them throw up. I don't know. But they were purging pills because, like I said, they were still practicing humors. Well, I don't know if I said that this episode. Uh-huh. But they're still practicing humors for a long time.
Right.
Like all the way up into like the 1900s.
Oh, wow.
So, yeah. So it's been a practice that they were using. But as they were finding more scientific evidence of things, of cures and other things and reasons for why things happen, they were using it less and less.
Okay.
But you know how even now there's a lot of old school doctors that still use and won't let go and hang on forever.
Yes.
Yeah. So there were still doctors that were trying to hang on to that whole humors thing.
Right.
Or thinking it was, but maybe not like, I mean, it's evolved a little bit, but it's still a little bit archaic.
Yeah.
So anyway, they thought it was laziness. So the cure, of course, would be prevent laziness, prevent slothfulness. Ironically, a lack of energy would cause the tiredness. So it seems a little dangerous to have someone go exercise while their blood levels were low. Like it's even in the hospital, if someone's working with physical therapy, if their blood count is low, they won't work with them.
Right.
Because it's dangerous. They could pass out easily.
You're not getting the needed oxygen to your tissues.
Right. So, but they think of this as laziness. So go out and exercise more. Go do some laps around the hospital.
Walk it off.
Yeah. So, So they didn't quite understand anemia. One of the theories was that it was caused by an overindulgence of masturbation, which Dr. Kellogg would have tried to cure. And then another was from lovesickness or melancholy. And that kind of makes sense because when you're love struck, I mean, as a kid, like you go in and out of love all the time, you do those roller coasters of emotion, right? And so maybe it's not really, you're sad and kind of depressed and like adolescent girls are dramatic. So they thought maybe that was a cause for the green sickness. So anyway, the fastest cure and probably everyone's favorite would be to have sex.
Interesting.
It was thought that the sperm would help settle down the womb and balance the humors.
Well, clearly.
I mean, who doesn't want to have sex as a prescription for health, right? But again, that's another activity. So I can imagine trying to have sex and you're just like, I'm too tired.
Right. You got anemia.
I have a headache, honey. It's from the green sickness. But in that movie, the girl that was green, she was very green. The Matthew Broderick character was always checking. He was like concerned with her. And She's like, will you have sex with me? And her bed had this little curtain thing that would cover her face. It was like a little curtain and it would cover her face. So he was having sex with her, but she didn't have to look at her.
See her face? That's so sad.
And so, and then I think in another, he had sex with her another, or he went down on her, I think, on another scene or something. Mm-hmm. And it was like this outdoor thing and he was covered and he went in. Maybe he didn't go. I don't know. He was under the covers. I don't know what he was doing. But anyway, like I said, the sex is supposed to be the cure. But if she was at that Dr. Kellogg place, that would have been very frowned upon.
Okay.
But
this Dr. Kellogg sounds like he would have been a lot of fun at parties.
No, he didn't like he didn't like sex. In fact, they said he didn't even have sex with his own wife. They adopted like 20 children.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. He's horrible.
Wow.
Okay, so there is a song that is about green sickness. Want to hear the lyrics?
Yes.
Okay. A handsome buxom lass lay panting on her bed. She looked as green as grass, and mournfully she said, except I have some lusty lad to ease me of my pain. I cannot live. I sigh and grieve. My life I now disdain. But if some bonny lad would be so kind to me before I am quite mad, to end my misery and cool these burning flames of fire which rage in this my breast, then I should be from torments free and be forever blessed.
Wow. That's intense.
Yeah, you know a man wrote that.
Yes. Oh, yes.
So that is the green sickness. The next one is green fever. Can you guess what green fever is?
Green fever. Mm-hmm. Does it have something to do with bile?
It's also known as a green out.
Green out? Is that like blacking out?
Kind of. But with weed.
Oh.
But with marijuana.
Okay.
And you never actually go out. But, okay, so this one is not that complicated. But it's a person who smokes too much weed.
Okay.
I didn't know that was a thing.
Interesting. I know people can get really sick from that. They can get to where they're throwing up a lot.
Yes.
And that's the what is it? Cannabinoid hyperemesis syndrome.
Yes.
And then they think that, oh, I have nausea. So what am I going to do? I'm going to smoke more marijuana to cure that nausea. They smoke more and it makes it worse.
Worse. Yep.
I actually took care of somebody in the hospital when I worked there.
Oh, that's with interesting.
This. Yeah.
Yeah. I've never heard of such a thing, but yes, that you're exactly right. So, but this one did surprise me because, well, I'll talk about why in a minute. But so usually it consists of severe shaking, uneven breathing, delayed vision. There might be dizziness, vomiting, severe anxiety, paranoia. It could increase the heart rate and then lower the blood pressure really low. There might be some hallucinations as well, oh. Chills, sweats, and a lack of mobility. So treatment is pretty easy.
Stop smoking weed.
Stop smoking. Hydrate. Take some breaths. Take some naps. Get a massage.
That doesn't sound so bad.
No, I'm like, this is the best cure besides the sex cure. This sounds like the best ever. Talk it through, and then or CBD, which I think maybe by
what to like wean you
yes,
down or
maybe,
something?
Maybe like. Yeah, without having the THC effects.
Okay.
So I don't know.
Because maybe that's the part of it that causes the symptoms.
Yeah. So, and then also remember it'll pass and no one has ever died from too much cannabis. The reason the body can react this way is because there is too much of the THC, which is the good stuff from cannabis. It can overwhelm receptors in the brain called CB1, which is the body's natural endocannabinoid system, which you just mentioned. Mm-hmm. A lot has to do with the body's tolerance. So of course, everybody's too much point is very different. Interestingly, if the green out is caused by edible cannabis, the green fever lasts longer. I had read on some packages that take one gummy and don't like just take one and then wait an hour to see if it was working and then take before you take another one. It's funny because when you think
of... Oh, you mean as far as just...
An edible.
Okay, okay.
They have gummies. I don't know if you know.
Oh, I know. I was in the military for a long time. I've never even had marijuana. Sorry.
Oh.
I'm not a good consulting person on this.
I am not an expert, but I have tried it.
Okay.
And I've tried the edibles. I tried the gummies.
Mm-hmm.
I have some good stories, but I don't know, like, if I could share them on here, people are going to start losing respect for me. I don't know. I don't.
It is totally legal in California.
But not for a nurse.
But not for a nurse.
Because we're federally.
Oh, right.
It's still federally illegal.
True.
So I don't do it anymore. Mm-hmm. But technically, I do use the cream for my arthritis.
Yeah.
So.
Is that pretty useful?
It works. It works. Yeah. It works. But it shows up on drug tests.
Oh, it does.
It does. Because it showed up on my drug test. And I don't do drugs. So when it showed up, I'm like, oh, yeah, it was a cream.
Oh, no.
So, yeah. Anyway, that kind of sucks. Aww. But it wasn't high enough to be a big deal. Like, no one's going to care because it was such a trace amount.
Right.
But, yeah. Which is it's unfortunate because it really did work really well.
Aww.
But anyway, so the edible, if you've ever had gummies or snacks, like, you don't eat just one.
Right.
You eat one after the other. Yes, right?
Especially if you're watching TV.
So I don't know why they make edibles into gummy, because then you just want another one.
Right.
But unless you've had the one I've had, which someone gave me, and it was like Christmas themed. It was awful. Ew. And it really does taste like
Was it
you're
like gingerbread
eating...
flavor or something?
It was like pine flavor.
Ew.
I don't know if it was pine flavor. It tasted like, ew, it was gross.
That sounds terrible.
Maybe that helps keep you from eating more than one.
Because they taste so bad.
But on the package, it says, you know, just to eat the one and wait an hour and see how you do. And then, so now I could see how you could definitely have a green out or green fever.
Yes.
From a bag of gummies, because you could eat too many of them, but then it's not, you can't reverse it.
Right.
And it's so small. It's not like you purging it's going to help.
Right.
So, and it lasts longer. So that would be a problem.
Yeah.
But the most people who consume marijuana in one way or another usually know how much it takes to get them high.
Right.
Or how much they need for pain relief.
Right.
Because a lot of people do vape, or they will do the edibles or whatnot for pain relief.
Right.
I know lots of people that do that. So it's not just to get that. But although I just watched Seth Rogen,
uh-huh,
that guy, that, and he like openly admits that he just stays high all day.
Really?
Yeah, all day.
I mean, it doesn't really surprise me about him.
No.
I guess he seems like, you know.
And then I think he has a marijuana company now.
Yeah.
And
that's interesting.
And then he just started doing ceramics. So
do you think he's ever gotten sick from it?
That's what I was wondering.
Yeah.
He had told a story about how he had some bad stuff at the Oscars once.
Oh.
But I don't know if it was like a green out. But yeah, he says he pretty much stays lit all day. Like, he just,
wow,
keeps it so that he's in that, I guess you would call it, therapeutic range.
Yeah. That almost sounds like work, trying to keep it
unless
steady,
you know,
all day.
I mean, if someone's like taking Tylenol all day for their...
Oh, that's true. You know, if you're taking, like, Tylenol around the clock, you know, because you have chronic pain or something,
know,
like that.
Like, yeah, oh, it's starting to wear off. Time for another puff.
True, true.
I don't know how he takes it or whatever, but he was pretty open about it.
Interesting.
So, but my point is that usually people who do consume marijuana know how much it takes to get that relief and keep them in, get that high. So the first time I did it was in college. And I was with some friends that were, I guess back then they called them potheads, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And of
that's
course,
what my parents still say too.
Potheads. You know, I like I said, I try everything once.
Yeah.
And it was Thanksgiving weekend, and I remember being really hungry, and we snuck in to, I was at my grandmother's, and my friends and I snuck into the kitchen. I think we made a tuna sandwich or something.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, I got really, really lit. So I remember going outside. There was like a alley that faced my grandmother's house. And I remember lying down in the alley and being like, wow, the stars are so amazing.
Just like on TV.
Wow, this is so cool. And my friends luckily stopped a car that was pulling into the alley and almost hit, ran me over.
Oh, Lord.
So they saved my life. But I, that was my first experience. And I wasn't really like, I'm not really, a, I don't like smoking. I don't like, I don't do cigarettes. I'm allergic to cigarette smoke anyway. So I never really got into it like they did.
Yeah. But, it smells terrible.
And it's, yeah, ugh. It smells awful. I knew my grandma knew. Yeah. She must have known. But like I said, I try everything once, and that was a interesting experience. Yeah. I almost died.
Almost got run over by a car. Your friend saved your life.
Yeah. I can't say that, you know, I guess if someone died from marijuana, it would be because they got run over.
They're playing Pokemon Go.
Right.
Walking into traffic.
Right. Oh, I wonder how that would be high. No, I'm just kidding. I don't want to know. Anyway, so the next one is going to be the Irish curse. I thought this was going to be exciting.
You thought it was going to be. It sounds exciting.
Right? The Irish
curse. Am I going to be disappointed?
I was. Well, maybe not. I don't know. there isn't much to talk about. But when I read the words Irish curse, I thought this is going to be good. And it's going to be some Irish legend.
Yeah.
And it turns out it's just another way of saying very small penis. So if someone has the Irish curse, it's...
I've never heard that before.
They said they're having a small penis, yes. And I thought, no, this can't be.
Do Irishmen traditionally have small penises?
I don't know. And I would love to do that survey. I'd love to take a poll. That was a.
They're all gonna lie though.
Yeah, yeah. But like in nursing, when someone tells you, "Oh yeah, I only drink, you know, a fourth of a pint a day," you're like, "Oh yeah, so a liter, right?"
Right, right, exactly. You always round up.
Yep, exactly. So I'm wondering if they just, yeah, you just round down for them. Anyway, I thought, no, this can't be. I'm just, yeah. So I kept looking and looking and looking, and everything said small penis. Like, that's horrible. That's a horrible thing to say. It's horrible. Not, it's not nice. But aww. I still feel like there should be some story there of how
it became called the Irish curse.
Yes. It was some distraught woman who was mad at this guy and cursed him.
Cursed him.
And then
and his penis shrank up.
It shrank.
Shriveled
forever.
Away.
And then from then on, any man who got the curse of the small penis.
We could start that rumor.
I think we just did. Okay, so the next one is the Irish illness. Irish illness, Irish curse. Irish illness is also known as the Celtic curse and also known as the Scottish illness because it was in that area of like the Welsh and British. And it's a mutation. It's a mutation of the body called hemochromatosis.
Okay.
Hemochromatosis. I'm really bad with words.
I know what you're talking about, though. This is when I was actually reading. It's so funny. I was reading about this the other day because my sister sent me a thing and she said, "What is this?"
Oh.
And it was like someone's lab work or something and they were a carrier for it. Oh. And it has to do with, I think it was hemochromatosis that I was reading about. Iron building up in your body over time. So it kind of builds up in your organs. And I think the first place that it builds up is in your liver. So you start to have liver issues.
I'm not sure where the first place is, but I think that's probably correct.
Yeah.
Because the liver is rich already in iron.
Right.
And so I feel like that would be probably the first place. But yes, that is correct. And also, when I was talking about bloodletting, one of the episodes I was talking to a friend of mine, and he said, "Well, do they still do bloodletting today?" And I'm like, yes.
They do for polycythemia.
For this.
Yes, so, for this type of thing.
But the disease has... So let's talk about how it happened. The disease is caused by a recessive genetic mutation that makes the body absorb too much iron that results in excessive amounts being deposited into vital organs, most commonly the liver, heart, and pancreas. It is like rusting the organs.
Ooh.
Because it's so much iron. It kind of starts resting them. Ooh. It can cause cancer, heart disease, diabetes, cirrhosis, and other life-threatening diseases. And this mutation was discovered in 1996.
Oh, it's that recent, huh?
Well, they discovered the mutation, but...
Oh, but the disease itself they've known about for a while.
Okay. The mutation, they think, started during the potato famine.
Okay.
The effects, it affects the Irish, Scots, Welsh, Britons three times more than any other races. It was caused by a recessive gene and it's passed down if both parents have the mutated gene. It's estimated that one in four are carriers, though.
Interesting.
The symptoms don't actually appear until after middle age for men, between 50 and 60, and after 60 for women. And some people just never exhibit signs and symptoms.
I guess that's a good thing.
But it's hard. It's really hard to... I'm sure if you're Irish and you're starting to have symptoms, they're going to check for that because it is a common...
True.
More common thing. But it could be kind of hard to diagnose because sometimes they could be diagnosed with arthritis because of the joint pain. There's other symptoms like fatigue and weakness, diminished libido and impotence. They could think that's just the Irish curse. the first signs of the disease from the organ damage can be heart failure or diabetes. So I guess when you go in to a doctor and you have symptoms for diabetes, they might just cure or might treat the diabetes, but not find the underlying
right,
cause.
Right, exactly. Especially since diabetes is so common. Type 2 diabetes is so common.
Yeah, especially nowadays.
Oh, yeah.
The Great Irish Famine that was in 1847 to 1849 had a lot to do with the mutation. The initial description of this disorder came about in 1865. So they were able to describe it, but they didn't actually figure it out till like 1996.
Okay.
Then... the other theory was that there was just a high alcohol ingestion. I mean, of course, Irish love their pubs. But that's not correct. The potato was the sole source of nutrition in the 17th and 18th centuries. When there was a potato famine, it was kind of a downward spiral. So not only did they lose their main source of nutrition, but farmers were being forced to sell their cows, which created a shortage of meat and milk containing vitamin A and D, that are needed for proper nutrition. And the vitamins also help with infection because I think there's a certain infection that they can get that made it worse. And I'll talk about that in a second. The levels of the essential factor in iron delivery are reduced in malnourished individuals. So those with the mutation have an advantage because of the limited iron consumption they were getting. So right. The mutation helped them be more nutrient.
So it's almost like they kind of evolved and adapted with the
right
with the
which I'm surprised famine. Because usually I feel like a mutation would develop over centuries,
right? I know,
hundreds of years.
Yeah,
but this happened
usually not within a generation or
right.
two. Yeah,
yeah,
that's interesting.
I thought so. The treatment is actually a modern day bloodletting. This removal of the blood from the body was to reduce the iron in normal levels. It's done every few months. And those with the mutation are also asked to avoid vitamins with iron mm-hmm. and vitamin C. Vitamin C increases the body's rate of iron absorption. Mm-hmm. They also need to avoid alcohol, which increases the risk of liver damage. And on top of iron poisoning, shellfish also needed to be avoided because it contains bacteria that they will be susceptible to getting infected by.
Oh.
So there was something, yeah, and that had something to do with vitamin A as well. Infection makes them vulnerable to a vitamin A deficiency.
Interesting.
So something else that was helpful was drinking tea that was rich in tannin because it was thought to slow the iron absorption down. And because of that, they might have drank a lot of tea back, you know, if you're poor
yeah.
and you don't have nutrition, like here, fill yourself with some tea.
Right.
And that tea was really high in these tannins, which made the iron absorption low. So that could have really made the mutation. So and that's the Irish illness.
Nice.
It's I never knew heard of it.
Yeah,
I mean, I've heard of the hemochromatosis but
yeah.
Yeah, I didn't realize there was a whole country out there that
yeah.
had a mutation.
A mutation happens over in that area. And maybe that's why, I don't know if it was my sister that was being tested for the mutation or for what reason. She just sent me some lab results.
You're part Irish.
Yeah. So we have Irish and English ancestry. Yeah. But I don't know specifically where from. That's what 23andMe told me.
Am I allowed to say 23andMe? Irish? That is our sponsor for today.
Oh, it is.
No, I'm just kidding. Oh.
My husband is, I'm not sure. I think he's mostly like Northern and Western European too.
So your children would be safe if you ever had any. Like, no mutation.
No mutations for us.
Okay. I can't have a green episode without talking about green tea.
Oh, of course. I love green tea.
I hate green tea. Oh, I hate tea. But I feel like I should talk about it. I'm horrible. I don't like tea. I don't like coffee. I don't know if that makes me horrible, but
that doesn't make you horrible.
People judge
makes
me.
Makes you a little strange.
People judge me. I am the type of person that usually I can wake up and I'm just as the same as I am at in the morning as I am at, like, you know, 1 o'clock in the afternoon is, like, you know, normally, like,
that's nice. I think most people wish they could be like that, because I drink way more caffeine than I probably should. And if I forget my coffee in the morning, I get a horrible headache.
My best friend, you can't talk to her until she's had her coffee. Yeah, like, yeah. She's one of those. And there's a lot of people like that. People have their coffee routines. I don't like coffee. I don't like tea.
I could see that, though.
I probably drink more water than anything, but I do once in a great while. I think, okay, when I was in nursing school, you stay up late trying to do all your paperwork and clinicals and reports, right? Then you go to clinicals 2 hours later, and then you're supposed to stay up, you know, like, you're supposed to be awake for usually, and like in the beginning, clinicals are like 4 or 5 hours, something like that. Not very long. But I remember going to clinical and being so tired. If you don't know what clinical is, that's where you go work in a hospital for free. No, I'm just kidding.
Basically.
You pay to be in a hospital working.
Yeah.
So you go and then you pick a patient and you learn all about them and then you talk about them and you try to figure out what their care should be. Now it seems so silly, like so easy. But back then.
Back when you're learning and you've never done it before, it was scary.
You're like looking up everything.
Yes.
So I remember being really, really tired. The day, this one particular day, is in Houston. And it was raining, like a sideways rain. And it was cold. And I was meeting a friend after class. And I was so tired. She ordered me this caramel macchiato.
Mm-hmm.
I guess that's the basic, right, drink back then. And I was like, I don't know. She put a lot of milk in it because I was like, I don't know. It's coffee. I don't know if I can drink this. Oh my gosh. So this was the first coffee drink that I've ever drank.
Oh.
And I was wired.
And you had some espresso.
I think they put a shot, right?
Yeah.
Anyway, I was so wired and I was like, this is the best thing ever. I was up. I was able to stay awake. I was able to do more paperwork. I was like, this is what am I missing all my life? I still can't drink coffee, but once in a while. And after that, when I would do study sessions, I would, because usually you go to Starbucks or something with your friends.
Yeah.
And so I started having caramel macchiatos and I had to order it just like how I've ordered it before, because if it tasted too coffee, I couldn't do it. But if it tasted more milk and rich, then I could do it.
Right.
Yeah. And then I found that it didn't work as well the second time and the third time and the fourth time.
You started developing that tolerance.
Yeah. Even though it wasn't like every day. Yeah. I was like, oh, well.
Your body wanted more.
So now if I drink a coffee drink, it's usually like every few months, maybe every 6 months.
That's good though, because you're one of the few people in the world that doesn't have a caffeine addiction.
Right.
So you should be very proud of that fact.
I did back then though. I did drink, well, not back then. There are sometimes I would drink soda, which I don't do much anymore.
Mm-hmm.
I have maybe a Coke a week or something.
Yeah.
Yeah. But it doesn't make me wired or anything.
Right.
I use the little tiny Cokes.
Oh, yeah. There you go.
Where it's like just tiny. Because, it's like just
have a little fit.
A little taste.
Yeah. And like I told you before, when I do soda, I've got to do the real stuff.
Oh, yeah. I can't do the fake stuff either.
Mm-mm.
It gives me migraines. That fake stuff makes me really sick.
And it tastes so terrible.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh. And then the ones that are like, no sugar added, it still has fake stuff in it.
It does.
And I think I had ice cream once that was like, no sugar added. I'm like, okay. And then I got so sick.
Oh, yeah. And a lot of times it leaves that aftertaste in your mouth. Mm-hmm. And it's just sometimes not worth it.
Okay. Green tea.
green tea.
I was like, I think I'm getting you off topic
more than you normally do, and I'm so sorry.
That's okay, because sometimes I cut stuff out.
Yeah, okay. Okay, good.
The last green, Okay, green tea. So there is a lot of benefits to green tea. And after researching this a little bit, I was like, maybe I should start being a green tea drinker. But there's a lot of benefits. Improved brain function with caffeine without the jitteriness like coffee. Mm-hmm. There is benefits to protect the brain from aging, such as Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. Green tea can also increase fat burning and boost metabolic rate. Cancer protection is another benefit of the green teas because of the antioxidants. Mm-hmm. There have been a lot of studies on the benefits of various types of cancer. The lowering risk of heart disease and stroke, as well as lowering inflammation. That sounds amazing.
Yeah.
One of the obvious benefits is hydration. And I also read that it helps with bad breath.
Interesting. I did not know that.
Yeah. Because there's something called the catechins. I know I should know this word. Catechins. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, I also don't know. That sounds good.
Okay, so anyway, these catechins help suppress bacteria that can be helpful in the oral bacteria. Oh. Green tea, which is natural antioxidant, has minerals in small amounts. That's beneficial. I guess if you have green sickness, you could do green tea with minerals. I don't know if it's iron, though. Another benefit claim is to prevent type 2 diabetes. There's been a lot of studies on that, too. Studies have shown it improves the insulin sensitivity, which reduces blood sugar levels. Basically, green tea can pretty much help you live longer.
Nice.
So skip the green beer this St. Patty's Day and have some green tea
instead.
Or maybe just have the green tea for your hangover with some food. Lucky Charms.
Lucky Charms and whiskey.
Actually, so when I was reading about Ireland and all these diseases and stuff, there is a name for the Irish hangover, and I can't remember what it's called. But one of the cures for the Irish hangover is eating a big old breakfast, eating a big Irish breakfast, blood pudding and eggs,
they have the beans.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And which are rich in vitamins. And
yes.
Minerals. Well, anyway, so that I'm like, just have some green tea with your big ass Irish breakfast. I've been to Ireland. I've told you that. Uh-huh. And we were there for a month and oh my gosh, they do have some good breakfast.
Yeah.
We stayed in a lot of Airbnbs and they're similar to like a B&B where they serve you breakfast and things. Mm-hmm. And Irish people are so, so nice. They like wait for you to wake up.
Aww.
And then they make you this big breakfast.
Aww.
And they like put out on the table all these foods and cereals and pastries and they'll make eggs and there was places that had blood pudding and oh my gosh.
The blood pudding I actually tried when I was over there.
It's not bad.
We went to Ireland and Scotland a few years ago, my husband and I, and it actually wasn't that bad. I probably wouldn't order it, but I mean, I would eat some of it when I had breakfast because we had, that big Irish English breakfast every morning.
They're so generous.
And they really want to cook for you and everything. Yeah. So you don't say no.
Trying to fatten you up.
Yes.
It's so good. I did enjoy their hospitality and whatnot, but I could see how that would be a good cure for a hangover. Oh, yeah. I don't know. Okay. So before we end, what I was going to add to the green tea thing is I do like matcha.
Yes.
I like matcha, but I think it's because it's usually like an ice cream.
Have you ever done like one of those matcha lattes?
I have.
It's really good. Yeah. If you get milk, matcha, and then you put some vanilla flavor in it, those are really good.
But I feel like it's counterproductive because it's healthy for you.
And then you add the sugar
and the ice cream. And you're like, yeah, that's not going to help any diabetes prevention.
It cancels out, right?
Right. So you're getting the benefits to live longer, but not going to help you with diabetes.
But we're going to add some sugar in there.
Yeah.
We're going to sprinkle a little bit of that.
Okay, so before we go, I wanted to give you a little Irish limerick.
Nice.
I was trying to find one that would be relatable to like medical or nursing or something, but I couldn't find one. But I did find some green ones. This first one. When the world stressed up in their green, the brightest colors that you've ever seen, they're drinking good cheer with green colored beer. It's not dirty though, it's clean. Like, okay. This next one, St. Patrick would have never believed how his memory would become perceived. In the Emerald Isle, they do it in style with green outfits, green hats, and green sleeves. Okay, and the next one, I was like, green. There was a man from the upper class who drank to the bottom of his glass. He drank with his mule. They said, what a fool, when he tripped and fell on his ass.
I had a feeling ass was coming at some point in that one.
That's my favorite one. I saved the best for last. Anyway, that is the green episode.
Yay!
And I'm releasing it before St. Patrick's Day because I think St. Patrick's Day comes after this episode.
Is there a certain day of the week that you release?
Thursdays. I try.
Okay.
But I am a working woman.
Yes, you are, because we work together.
And so sometimes it makes it a little difficult. I did not release one last week because I was still getting settled in and I lost my voice. Aww. And I told you I had a swollen tongue.
Yeah.
And I had a hole in my tongue. I didn't tell them, the listeners, that.
Oh, yeah.
I also had a hole in my tongue.
It looked painful, you guys.
I kept biting on
it. Poor Angie.
Because I talk too much and then I just keep re-injuring myself. But it was a side effect from a medication I'd take. So anyway, I'm doing better and I couldn't imagine doing a whole episode where I couldn't even talk. So yeah. I'm like,
not the best thing to do when your tongue is swollen.
So I didn't release one last week. And sometimes I release them later. I'm like, at least it's the same week.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's before. Mostly I've been pretty good lately about Thursdays, but that's what I shoot for. That's what I try.
Nice.
Yeah. So anyway, okay, thank you so much for being on this episode with me. I look forward to more episodes with you. It was a lot of fun.
Thank you for having me. It was a lot of fun.
All right, listeners, stay curious and I'll catch you in the next episode. I hope you enjoyed today's mental vacation from your current life. If you did and are curious for more, please subscribe. Before you go, if you have anything to add to today's show, or you have a topic that you think is worthy of dissection, please reach out on dissectingmedicalhistory.com or Instagram on dissectingmedicalhistory. Thank you, and stay curious.